So some fantasy sports have been a game, a hobby, recreation. Then things changed for tens of millions of people when daily fantasy sport outlets like DraftKings and FanDuel broke out. Then fantasy sports became money, but well, not easily for all, even in some cases at some points for the companies. Meneses took a look at his then job as Yankees beat writer for the Wall Street Journal, the money that daily fantasy sports offered, and thought, that sounds like a goldmine waiting to be picked at. The reality? Much different. While the lessons were many, which he shares in his new best-selling book, Dueling with Kings, High Stakes, Killer Sharks, and the Get-Rich Promise of Daily Fantasy Sports. Here were some of those lessons and the stories as the book's author, Daniel Barbarese. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And it's DanielBarbarese.com. We've linked that over at our website for your ease. So, like I said in the introduction, you knew baseball. You were covering baseball, beat writer for the Yankees. And you thought, okay, here's an easy path to pick up some bucks. So you started off casually. How quick before it got intense for you?
Well, what was intense right away was how bad I was at it. I can say that. I certainly expected to be pretty good at this because, yeah, I was a traveling baseball beat writer at one of the biggest papers in the country. And I thought that was going to make me probably an instant success at this thing. And I very quickly learned that was not going to be the case at all. But what that did was really pique my curiosity. That made me want to look into this thing a little bit more. And so, you know, I said, okay, this clearly is not all about just, let's say, sports knowledge. This is a much bigger game here. And, you know, I quickly found, A, this is a math game about statistics with a sports facade to some extent. But also I found there were a lot of things that were, you know, problematic in the industry itself. And that with the playing field where the quote-unquote sharks, you know, the real top players, wielded very, very significant advantages over the average guy in terms of interactivity with the sites themselves and sometimes computer programs that allowed them to make alterations to their fantasy lineups that your regular person couldn't do. On top of that, there were things like employees of the companies actually allowed to play on opposing sites, and they, you know, in theory could have access to additional information that your average player simply would not have. So looking at all of that, I started to realize, whoa, there's a much bigger story to be told here, and that's what made me want to dive into the industry full bore and write the book about it.
You mentioned the computer programs and the equations and the formulas some of these sharks use. I mean, in their spare time when they're not on daily fantasy sports, are they launching space shuttles?
They probably could be. Some of these are very, very smart guys. You know, these are people who 10 years ago, these were the day trader types, and you know, or 15 years ago, really. 10 years ago, these are the ones who were into the beginning of online poker when that boomed. You know, these are smart guys who are looking for, shall I say, I guess, a wormhole that will get them around, you know, the ability to have the 9-to-5 job. They want to find the other path, and most of them are very successful in doing so because these are very smart people, and they very interesting to see their processes as they built their own programs and models and figured out how to be better than one another and then certainly better than people like me.
Is this a lifestyle for these people, or are they, in effect, workaholics in daily fantasy sports? That's their job.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, no one should think that these guys are sitting around on their butts all day. I mean, many of them wake up at 7, 8 a.m. to start crunching statistics, and they don't stop until the games begin at, let's say, 7 p.m., and then they actually pay attention to their lineups and watch the games in order to glean additional information. It is very much a full-time job. And often much more so than for, you know, your regular 9-to-5 person. That said, it can be very lucrative, and also, you know, you are watching sports and betting on sports for a living, so they really enjoy it. But, you know, anyone who thinks that it is some sort of hour-a-day leisure pursuit and they make a ton of money, no, it is not that at all. It's a very, very intense activity for those at the top of the industry.
To the point where, as you write, and this is one of the stats that just really makes me think, why would you want to get involved when 1% wins 91% of the money? It's like, okay, fine, there's an idea, the sense of competition. I would love to outshark the shark, but what chance do I realistically have?
Well, that was really why I wanted to write the book the way I did. So what I did, you know, when I was the Yankee beat writer for the Wall Street Journal, I actually tried to see if I could become one of these sharks, you know, if I could go from what's called a fish to being a shark in the space of a year. And so I dropped out and eventually quit my job to try to join these guys, and I got them to mentor me and teach me and see if it was even possible to be done. And I don't want to give away too much about the ending, but you know, it turns out that, you know, yeah, you can do it. But that said, you know, it's very hard. And part of what I wanted to do in telling that story in process was to say there were a lot of things about the industry that needed to be changed and to make that much more even playing field. At the time, that 1% winning 90% of the money was true. They have since gotten better at it. You know, the companies themselves, under a lot of external pressure, a lot of media pressure, a lot of regulatory pressure, have leveled the playing field somewhat, such that it's not that bad anymore, but it's certainly not, you know, 50% of the people winning the money, that kind of thing. It's definitely concentrated in a small percentage. I would say that 15% are winners now, which is still not great, but is better than it was before. So, you know, that was part of what I set out to do, was figure out, can it be done? And I'm not sure if it could have been done at the time when I started the book, but part of why I think I started to succeed in it was the regulations and the changes that were happening in the industry while I was involved in it, while it was under fire and scandal from all manner of outside interests.
Darwin Daniel Barbarisi with his book, Dueling with Kings, High Stakes, Killer Sharks, and the Get Rich Promise of Daily Fantasy Sports. DannyBarbarisi.com is his website. You also get the book through there, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So what are some of the steps that Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General for New York, some of the steps that he took, was that beneficial for the players, and did it put the companies on a more legit foundation?
I think in the long term it was beneficial for the players, because I think they were forced to make a lot of the changes that needed to be made in these companies. You know, what Attorney General Schneiderman did, he looked at this and he said, on a most basic level, this is illegal in the state of New York. But, you know, interestingly, more than that, he said what really bothered them, you know, talking to people in his office, was that there were just no internal controls in place at the time at these companies. And they would go and talk to the heads of these companies, and they would say, well, what are your best practices for this or for this situation or for that situation? And what's in the employee handbook? And they would just return essentially blank stares, because at the time there was nothing like that. You know, this was a multi-billion dollar industry, but one that had grown so fast that it had no real controls in place. And that's what I think was the real tragedy of that at the time. I don't think these were bad people trying to bilk, you know, people, the companies at all. I just think that they were so single-mindedly focused on killing one another, you know, DraftKings on eating FanDuel and destroying DraftKings, vice versa, that they hadn't really put any controls in place to protect their customers, the players. And that allowed some of the real sharks to run roughshod over the average guy. What happened when the attorneys general from various states became involved is these companies were forced to, in a very, very big hurry, put some of those controls in place. So in the long term, I think it was very good that government became involved in this. And I think what's happened is now is that generally most of the attorney general efforts have fallen away, and most of the battles are being waged at the legislatures now, where these companies are having bills introduced to legalize and regulate their industry on a state-by-state basis. They're legal in roughly, well, or at least they exist in roughly 40 states right now. They are explicitly legal in the sense they have bills protecting them in, I would say, about 10, but my expectation is that will rise over the next couple of years. But it's been a very interesting process to watch and chronicle at the legislative, court, and state level as well.
As you progressed from being the novice and the fish, and, I mean, granted, you had access, and we'll touch on this a little bit too, with some of the sharks, and that was surprising too, how they were so open about, you know, letting you into the fold or sharing experience. But what's the emotional cost of being really dedicated to daily fantasy sports? It's almost like, I think of the analogy, I used to work with the WWE, and there was always this term they always used, living the character, where some guy got so wrapped up in his character, he became the character, and they would talk throughout wrestling history how that happened, and you lose yourself. Was that ever something that you got concerned about, where there was a heavy emotional cost of being, trying to become the player in DFS that you wanted to become?
Absolutely. I think that's a great analogy, the idea of living the character too much. And certainly. Over the time, you know, I mean, there was no way with the amounts that I was at a certain point wagering in this, you know, which amounted to multi-thousands a day all the time, that doesn't change the way you look at money, the world, everything. It took a huge emotional toll on me. You know, I wasn't some big gambler before this. I was, you know, the kind of guy who would, we had a poker game in the early 2000s for, I think, $10 buy-in a night. It was nothing, you know. And then you'd occasionally go to a casino at a bachelor party and play $100 of blackjack and leave. I never did anything like this before. And all of a sudden, I'm betting literally thousands of dollars a day, sometimes losing thousands of dollars a day, winning thousands of dollars a day. It certainly changed my entire relationship with money and made me extraordinarily stressed for a very long period of time. It really takes over your world when you're betting at that level. I mean, you know, I think I said this in the book, but, you know, I'd be out to dinner with my wife, for instance, and, you know, it was so hard for me not to figure out what my players were doing that night. And there's a rationale behind that, in the sense that you can really argue, it's, well, what else am I doing with my night that's more important than the $3,000 I have on this fantasy team? And that is one way to look at it. It's probably not a good way to look at it, but it's also an argument that can be made. And so I would make those arguments with myself all the time. You know, don't look at it, don't check it, don't engage with it. But at the same time, how do you not? Because it's so all-encompassing to do it. And if you're not doing it in an all-encompassing way, you probably shouldn't be doing it at all, because, you know, you're throwing away money, certainly at those levels that I was doing it at. And so it was very much a consuming process for me. I think that was necessary to tell the story of it the right way. But yeah, I think I'm probably permanently sprained because of it.
Or maybe that's a lesson from, as you write in Dueling with Kings, what Beep said. He basically said, if you worry about the money, you're not going to win the money.
Yeah, the other lesson he said, though, was don't sweat the games. And, you know, that's what they call it, is watching the games. It's called sweating the games. And I sweat the games way too much. And that's something that I think I definitely had a problem with, and I needed to avoid doing that. You know, Beep was a very wise man. He was my mentor, this guy Jay Rayner. Beep, I'm a Jeep in that world. And it's funny, he's a very quirky, interesting, I think 28-year-old Canadian. He's 10 years younger than me, but in a lot of ways, he knew a lot of things certainly about this that I didn't, not just the betting parts of it, but the way to understand the emotional toll it takes on you part of it. And I wish I'd listened to him more at the beginning.
Well, with Daniel's book, Dueling with Kings, High Stakes, Killer Sharks, and the Get-Rich Promise of Daily Fantasy Sports, if that's something you've been tempted to tip your toe into, I recommend reading Daniel's book, Dueling with Kings, because obviously with gambling, in some way, shape, or form, the odds are always going to favor the house. In this case, it would be the Sharks in Daily Fantasy Sports. But with strategy, with dedication, with control, and with just the reality of, okay, it's not the mortgage money you're going to be laying out there. It's expendable funds that you can very well possibly lose, but you can very also possibly double up on. Have some fun with it. And you never know where you might wind up, as you'll find out where Daniel wound up in Dueling with Kings, High Stakes, Killer Sharks, and the Get-Rich Promise of Daily Fantasy Sports. DanielBarbarisi.com is where you can get a copy of the book. Learn more about Daniel's stuff as well. Daniel, it's a fun read. It was educational. And anyone with curiosity about DFS, you pretty much answered everything. And with the inside look, too, you prepared them for the reality, which when it comes to gambling, that's what people lose too often. So thanks for a great job with the book and for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Yeah, you can get it anywhere. You know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's all over the place. I really did write it for the people who don't play DFS, for the people who were just curious what the heck happened with that whole thing. So I hope it's an educational read for them.